It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, we are going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21 for today's lesson. This is the 12th test in our series of tests as we've been going through 1 John. I hope that you're doing well with these and that they have been maybe a challenge to you, but you've been using them to examine yourself. And so for today's lesson, I've entitled it, The Ministry of the Holy Spirit and Love. And so that's what we're going to be comparing ourselves to see if that's true in our life. I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verses 7 of chapter 4. Read along with me if you have your Bible. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that one who loves God should love his brother also. That's a lot of verses, but again, as I've kind of pointed out, John loves to do that repetitious language. He loves that style of writing where everything is kind of repeated and the same phrase is bounced off one another. God is love. By this, we know that we are in him because we love God. All of that type of language is very repetitive in nature, but it has a place and a reason for why he does that. So here we're going to see a few things that are covered in this text. And the test is about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and how that will reflect in the ways that you love. So that's really what we're going to try and focus on here with this lesson. And as I've mentioned before, the circular pattern that John uses is happening here once again. So we're coming back around to some of those tests that we've already covered, but in a different way. So we've kind of touched on the God is love, love the brethren, all of those love tests, but this is going to talk about it in a little bit different way, but still in that circular fashion. In verses 7 and 8, he tells us that we are able to love because God is love and he resides in us. If we're regenerate, then the two go hand in hand. We're able to love as he does because he has made us new through our appointed salvation in time. Verse 8 is a reminder that you can say all day long that you're a believer, but if you harbor any ill will in your heart, or if you have any sort of hatred or malice in your heart for someone else, well, as we saw in chapter 3, as Cain did, then you're not of God. Cain had that same malice in his heart, that same hatred in his heart for his brother. We can't have that if we are believers of Christ, and I'm going to show you why. Verse 9 is reminding us of God's love for us by sending his only son. And, you know, he died for us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. Verse 10 is going to continue with that thought and reminds us we are only able to repent and love because he did it for us and imparts that to the believer. It is this continual theme that we belong to God because of our faith and trust in Christ and the repentance of our sins. We see the word propitiation used here. I want to talk about that for just a minute because that's truly what it is. It's a propitiation. And Hebrews 9:5 actually translates that as the phrase mercy seat. So those are kind of interchangeable, propitiation, mercy seat. And that is truly what it is, his mercy for us, because on our own, we have no hope but hell. We are bound for hell, if not for the mercy of Christ and the propitiation that was done for us on the cross. Verse 11 tells us that we again are to love like Christ loved, and we can only do that with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Another confirmation that you are able to love others and that you have this attitude of love is that you know that the Holy Spirit is doing that through you. If you've got that attitude and if you have that ability to love other people, well, we know that we can't do that on our own because we know that by nature we are children of wrath. So this is not something that just comes naturally to us where we just wake up every morning and say, you know what? I'm just going to go love everyone, everyone who's wronged me, everyone who has done something to me unjustly or that I feel is unfair. I just love them no matter what. Ladies, that's not our nature. That's not how we are just by our own ability. We aren't that way. If we're real honest with ourselves, we'll recognize that that's not true of us. That's not instinctive behavior. So because we have the Holy Spirit in us, he is the one who gives us the ability to love like Christ loves. Verses 12 through 14 are reminders that God's love it's always invisible, but yet it's manifested visibly through believers. What a great opportunity you and I have to show the love of God visibly. Isn't that a wonderful thought that we have the ability to show God's love to other people, since he is invisible but all-knowing, he's omniscient, he's everywhere, but yet his love, we can't visibly see that because we can't see God, as the verse tells us, but others can see God in us by the way that we love. Remember that whenever you're out in the world, and remember that your love is for others is only because of the Holy Spirit being in you. Let that play out in your life. I love that reminder there. It's just so critical. And he was love from the very beginning. We saw it visibly through Jesus, and now we can demonstrate it because that same Spirit lives in us. Verses 15 through 21, that whole section there, they're going to camp out on the idea that we have confidence because God's love is evident in our life. And if we have God's love, we also have assurance of our faith because without the aid of the Holy Spirit, we cannot love. See how that works? If you have one, then you have the other. And that love is going to cast out anything that's not of God, which might be fear, anxiety, or anything else that's contrary to his nature. So that, what a great reminder that we've got that love that is residing in us, being given to us by the Holy Spirit because we are born again, and therefore we don't have any reason to fear. That perfect love is casting out all fear. Why do we have any reason to be anxious or to be upset or to be worried or fearful when we have that same love in us that is God? That is so comforting, and I hope that kind of renews your mind on that topic a little bit today. I know many of us struggle with that, myself included, but when I read that verse, it really does just calm the anxious spirit that can rise up in us. And remember that you cannot love God and hate others. If you belong to him, you will have this love in your heart. In verses 20 through 21, they pick back up on that reminder of you cannot hate and be a Christian. You cannot hate someone habitually and harbor unforgiveness in your heart and be a Christian. And he says that so clearly whenever he is telling us that you cannot hate your brother and still be having God's love within you. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I mean, John is pretty clear there. He just tells you, If you're out there saying, I love God, but inwardly you are hating your brother, You're a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So John's telling us they go hand in hand. If you love God, you're going to love your brother. If you love your brother, then chances are you probably are born again. Not always. I mean, we can't always do that with that train of thought there that just loving your brother will make you saved. But in the life of a believer, it is an evidence of true conversion. So that's our thoughts here for today. That is our test, is do we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit and love operating in our life? Did you pass this test? Did you examine yourself? Stop today and look through these verses and test yourself against that. You can find this lesson under the Bible Studies tab on naomistable.com. It's listed as The Ministry of the Holy Spirit and Love, Lesson 16, Test 12.